Succession number 13038, Reel 2.
Medicine. They've led us good and proper.
Do you remember which positions in the line your battalion held in between that and before you moved to the Aguilderi? Did you hold any particular position in the line at Suvla?
Well, we was up with the Munsters up on the left flank, but then we were brought down to what we call the Chocolate Hills in those days. I know they still call them the Chocolate Hills.
Yeah, I know.
But as we came down to there, that's where we got came another base in there. Yeah, it was pretty bloody there too.
Were there a lot of trenches on Chocolate Hills?
Well, we had to make our own, of course, eventually. Yeah. So far as you could. The tanks, of course, were well trenched. They'd all got all their stuff all ready now. Turk number one is at a Turk. Mm. His brother was killed up on Aki Baba. You find his tomb still up there. Because when I went there 50 years after the Turks took me around and showed me where it was. Oh, they made a fuss of us when we went there as visitors, but they didn't make much of a fuss of us when we went there to Len, I'm sure.
What was the food like? Do you remember?
Food? Well, we lived on cheese and biscuits. Bully beef and biscuits. That was our food. That's all we had for weeks on end. Occasionally we got a tin of sausages and things like that. Occasionally oddments. But generally speaking, we lived on bully and biscuit. Two men to a tin and all that sort of thing. Yeah, that was pretty thin, that was.
And the water was short, too.
Oh, well, we only got a pint a day, that's all we were allowed. Because it was all carried there or whatever.
And that was for everything, drinking and washing?
Yes. Oh, yes, that was for everything, yeah. Yeah, we didn't worry about washing anything. We had to have it for drinking purposes.
What do you think the morale was amongst your men?
Pretty good, really, considering everything. They didn't moan much. And as I say, the conditions were terrible in the summer, and in the winter equally as bad. It was like being fried like a damn fish in the summer. And in the winter, of course, you were being absolutely frozen stiff. But taking it all round, they stood it very well.
Were you there for that very bad spell of winter?
Oh, yes,
for the blizzards?
I was there for the whole time. I never dodged anything. Well, bloody fool me, I should have dodged a bit if I'd have a bit of sense, but instead of which I went through everything.
Do you remember the blizzards?
Oh, yes, I do. When that came, came down, it washed corpses out of the ground and all muck and all that, you know. And yes, when that blizzard was a spine, that was. we managed to survive somehow, but how, God only knows.
Do you remember, were you still wearing your summer uniform at that time?
Oh yes. They eventually did rig us out with a winter kit, but we had to put up with what we got, of course.
Do you remember who the men were in your platoon?
Oh, yes. Of course, I had four machine guns. I was a machine gun sergeant, you see. I had four machine guns, Vickers 303s, and six men to a team, to each gun, you see, that's how it was. Because I had also had the men that looked after the horses, or the mules, really, that we had to use occasionally, that we didn't have any use for them there, but not like we did in Palestine. But there we didn't get much use from.
Could you name them?
But the mules?
No, the men.
Oh, yes. Oh, I knew them all right. Yes. Did you mean their names?
Yeah.
Well, I can... That was Morris. There was two Morrises. There was a Lance Sergeant, a second in command to me. That was Sergeant Morris, and his brother was also in the machine gun corps. And then, of course, we had heaps of others. All those fellows that was Pickis and different chaps of different names, you know. So.
And did they all come from the same area of London as you did?
Oh, no, they came from all over. They came from all over by the time we got going. Mm. By the time we left, they came from everywhere.
But to start with, they'd all come from...
They were all local at first. But with Harding, he came, of course, at the very beginning of the war from Dorset. He came, and he came as a second lieutenant. He got a commission and that. Then, of course, we got moved from there to one place and another. We did end up in Latchmere House on Ham Common. That's where we eventually did get that was where we were. We got to Latchmere House. That was a wonderful place, mind you, that was. It was where the rich did really transport themselves. They did enjoy themselves. That place, it had artificial caves with artificial...
stalagmites.
These things that hang down and stick up, what they call them. Well, they used to take their duties in, you know, and have their good times. And of course, when the war broke out, they put pay to it. And we went there as soldiers. We went there to take, just to live them. So we moved on to Richmond. That's where we went from there.
Was that with the whole division?
Oh, yes.
You were collected as a division?
Oh, yes. Yeah, we went there as a division, yeah.
Do you remember, was Lord Harding a good officer?
He was a sport, he was. Damn good sport. He was a first-class bloke. very funny thing. We went on until the war finished, and when we got the we got to the Lebanon, that was where we finished our war in the Lebanon in 1918. And old Harding came up and he says, "What are you going to do, Joe? What are you going to do now?" I said, "I'm going up with enough of these buggers here." So he said, "I think I'm a soldier and I've got nothing else I want to do." And he did, and see where it landed him. He went to the regular army, and he had to step down until he was made second lieutenant, because they didn't allow him to carry their wartime degrees with them or whatever they were. So he had to lose that and then start all over again. But he was always a good first class bloke anyway.
And he was in charge of the machine guns? In charge of your section, was he?
Yes, he was in, he was machine gun officer, you see. I had about half a dozen of different machine gun officers, of course. When one got wounded, another one, they kept on swapping them over and that. I was there all the time. They couldn't shift me. I was there all the time.
And after Gallipoli, you went to the Suez Canal, did you?
Yes. Yes, we went to the Suez. We came off Gallipoli, and the boat landed us at Alexandria, where we went into Egypt, and where we were deloused, and we needed it. It was very funny. The chap, as we, when we got to Alexandria, the RNC corporal, he was yelling there, "Come on, boys, come and have a nice hot bath." We had to take all our clothes off, chuck them down, get rid of them, and then with no clothes on at all, then we went up to this bloke and each chucked a bucket full of cold carbolic over. And he says, "Into the next tent, and there you put a clean clothes on, and a new clothes on." See, that's the way they did it. God, blimey, it was a... Yes, this way for our bath, whoop. Then from there, of course, we started our Egyptian career. Mina Camp, that's where we went from there.
It's by the pyramids, is it?
By the pyramids, yeah. That's where I swore when I saw that pyramid, I was, "I'm going to climb that damn thing," and I did. Next morning I was up there, and when I got to the top, there was a gypper up there. "Come on, Johnny, nice drink, nice cool drink." "Yeah, just see, wait, ring up the top of the pyramid." And then when I went into the pyramid, in the pyramid at Mina, the chap, the gypo was taking me round, met another gypo, and they had a fight in there as who was supposed to be taking me round. Showing me round the pyramid. That was all very interesting. And we stopped at the pyramids until we moved up to the canal, of course. And we crossed the canal and dug it. Had camps along the side of the canal there.
Do you remember where the place was?
Oh, yes. That was the... what was the name of it? Kantara. That was one place. There were several places on the canal where we were up.
It was different on the canal, was it? Oh, there was much quieter, I expect.
Oh, yes. The Turks hadn't got down. They never got to the canal. Mm. We didn't meet them till further up.
But you had to sit in readiness in case they came down on a raid?
We had nothing to do with them until we got to Gaza, you see. That was the... Gaza covered Jerusalem, you see. That was a factor there. Well, if you could... Once you took Gaza, Jerusalem was open.
Yes.
That's how it was. Once we'd taken Gaza, of course, we could go right through.
So it was quite a pleasant change on the canal after Gallipoli.
Oh,
in between Gallipoli and Gaza.
Oh, I say it was, yes, it was a rough ass Gallipoli was all the way through.
So you were only too glad when you were evacuated?
I say so. When Kitchener gave the orders for that, I thought, thank God for that. Because I couldn't see any for Aki Barber. There was never any chance of taking the place. Bally Great Hill like that, dug in with Turks and all over the place, it was impossible.
So did you realise whilst you were there that you weren't going to be able to win?
Oh, we didn't.
You didn't think about it?
I don't think so, no. I think you take a queer attitude as a soldier. This is life. If I get through, I'll get through, and that's it. Whether you win or not, it's a debatable point, you don't know.
How do you think you got on with the other officers, other than Lord Hardinge?
Oh, I got on all right with them, generally speaking. It was a louse here and there, but generally speaking, I got on all right with them.
Did you ever see any of the senior officers, the brigadier generals or the...
Very seldom. No, occasionally you'd get... somehow come and have a look around and that, but you wouldn't know these particular. I knew who the big cheeses were, of course, I knew them by name, but they weren't much good cop until Allenby came on the scene. Allenby was a cavalryman.
And you were in all three battles of Gaza?
Yes. Every one of them.
What was the countryside like around Gaza? Was it quite flat? Or?
Generally speaking, it was... Well, it's pretty ordinary, you know. Well, it wasn't bad. But, as I say, the whole place was dominated by this mosque at Gaza. They could see every bit of it, wherever we were.
In the centre of the town, was it?
Eh?
Was it in the centre of the town?
No, it wasn't. It was right... At the beginning, where the hill started. And from there it looked right out over there.
Anywhere near Ali Munta?
Ali Munta?
Yeah.
Well, yes. That was the... that was a big hill, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Ali Munta, that's right. Yeah, then we had to take one at that one. That was the... the first battle was for, Ali Munta. Oh, we did. It was rather a bloody affair in some ways. But we did get a German general on that one. One of the boys. I always remember him bringing this German general down. He was riding his horse, and the German general was walking in front. This guy was sitting with a bayonet stuck in the back of his neck, and... we're going to take him to prison. I don't know how the hell they managed to get him, of course. By an accident, I should think.
Do you remember anything in particular about the battles of Gaza?
Only this. No, not really. It's you've got a position which you take up and you shoot away at God knows what. And you go on doing that until something else happens, that's right.
And then the fighting after then, between then and the end of 1918, was quite different.
Oh, yes, that was
it. A lot of moving about, was
that? That was taking Palestine, that was, of course. Of course, we had to move up to Palestine gradually, you see.
And what was the heat like there? Was it better than at Gallipoli?
Yes, it was. Gallipoli, of course, the heat now in the summer was murderous. I don't know about that.
Did you have as many flies there, or were there far fewer?
No, it was a lot better there. A lot better than... It was always... plenty of flies, but never quite as bad as it was at Gallipoli.
When you were in the Atal Dere, you were just next to the Australians, is that right?
That's right, yes.
What do you remember about them?
A grassy lot of suds. For some reason, I don't know why, they always seem to object to us. And they're never friendly or anything like that. I could never make out what the objection was when I went over them. Well, later on, I think they'd just as soon have fought me as anything else. Why, truth, I don't know. I suppose they still think the same.
Did you go on a tour when you went back in 1965? Did you go to Palestine as well, or was it just Gallipoli?
No, they wouldn't take us to Palestine.
Oh, no, sir.
That was the trouble with the Jews at that time. They wouldn't let us go there.
Would you have liked to have gone?
I would have liked to have done, but they wouldn't let sir. So we went round. We had quite a good tour round.
Did you go by boat?
Yes. Oh, yes.
When you see the pictures of the dugouts at Gallipoli, they're always stacked up the hills. Yeah. Is that what your dugouts were like?
Yeah, that's it. Just depends where you were, of course. As often as not, we were dug out into the trenches, you see. And then you dug into the side of the trench all in there.
And there were no rest camps?
Oh, no rest camps there in those days, no. No, we didn't get any jam at all, not in those days.
Do you remember what the hand grenades were like? What the bombs were like?
Yes, I do. The German ones were most effective because they were on a long stick. And number of times I found enemy ropes dead, you know, with a stick. Holding a grenade with the already pulled out, ready to throw, and they've been shot. I've had quite a few blokes like that. Of course, with that stick, you could throw it a hell of a way, you know. In fact, a lot farther than you could at Mills. I did know one chap who came from New Zealand, what the native from Maori. He could throw a hand grenade 80 yards. That was some chuck. Yeah. But he was about the only chap I knew who could throw a grenade that far.
They were heavy, were they?
Well, about a couple of pounds or two. Quite enough, I suppose. So you had to pull the pin out and then allow no more than 3 seconds and chuck it.
Did you ever use the earlier ones where you had to strike them?
No, I never used them. We had, in fact, I always forget what they were like. We did have some funny things, I know.
Just looking through my questions here.
A grenade which we with a rough stuff it. You had to strike it on and then throw it. There was one of those, I remember that. My brother, yes, he served in the Air Force.
He was younger than you, was he?
No, he was older than me, about 3 years or 6 years, I think. He was in the technical sergeant for the Air Force.
You just had one brother?
Only one, yes, that was all.
I suppose most of your school friends would have been in the war as well, were they?
Oh, yes, of course. They were all killed, of course.
Most of them killed.
They were. In fact, all the chaps I knew were all gone.
Were most of them in the territorials like you, or did they volunteer when the war started?
No, most of them were in...
Yes, there's a photograph there. I think it must be on the ship.
Was it?
You're all wearing your medals.
Is that so?
Yes. There's a whole lot of you there.
Oh.
Must be about 50.
Wonder when that was taken.
Well, I suppose it's on the... on the boat going back to visit it again.
Oh, I suppose so, yeah.
They didn't have a special medal for Gallipoli, did they?
No.